May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Just about every day, I spend a few minutes on Facebook. I try to keep our church Facebook page up to date, and I enjoy posting pictures there that I take or that people send me. And I enjoy seeing what's going on with friends and family around the world at this point, since our son Franklin's in Mozambique. That's usually how I see him, is on Facebook. Now, I must admit, some days it's more than a few minutes that I spend on Facebook. But there are so many stories that flash before our eyes every day. If we watch television, if we watch anything on the computer, one story recently caught my attention and brought tears to my eyes. It was a picture, first, of a young Turkish couple dressed in their wedding clothes and serving food. And this was the headline: "Newlyweds spend their wedding day feeding 4,000 Syrian refugees on the Turkish border." This young couple and their family, Fethullah and Ezra are the names of the couple, they decided that instead of having a fancy dinner with close friends and families at a fancy place, an exclusive event, they would spend that money and invite 4,000 homeless Syrian refugees to celebrate with them at their wedding banquet. And the picture was of them serving the food with big smiles on their faces. They decided to share their resources in a grand gesture of generosity to those in need. It reminded me of Jesus' words to the young man in today's gospel. But Jesus does not ask him for a single grand gesture of generosity. If he had, the man might not have gone away grieving. Jesus asked the man to change his entire life. We have to remember that in Jesus' time, a person who had wealth was considered to be blessed by God. Wealth was a sign of blessing by God, in right relationship with God. That's how they understood it. Yet this rich man knew that that wasn't the whole story. He knew that there was more. He yearned for more. He came to Jesus and he knelt down before him. And Mark tells us that Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him as he was and also wanted more for him, just like Jesus does for all of us. Jesus knew that the one thing that was keeping this man from abundant life was his relationship to his wealth. Today we are continuing our exploration of what it means to be a steward of God's creation. There are many definitions of stewardship, but I like this one. Stewardship is everything that I do after I say I believe. And today's gospel gives us something to wrestle with as we prayerfully consider our giving for God's work in the world. The rich man asks Jesus what he can do to inherit eternal life. He has done lots of things, good things. He's lived a good life and kept the commandments. But he knows that there is more. So he comes to Jesus and asks him what he can do. Jesus looks at him with compassion. And then Jesus gives him something to do. Sell all your possessions and give them to the poor. Then come, follow me. And the rich man went away sorrowful because he could not do what Jesus asked of him. He could not leave his things, his identity in the world, and follow Jesus. He was held captive by the power of his own wealth. There is a cost to discipleship. And to follow Jesus, we have to be willing to sacrifice. And yet, the promise of new life in Christ is given to all of us. It is a free gift and cannot be earned. We cannot earn salvation even if we give away everything we own. And in that way, the man was asking the wrong question. Our society is obsessed with money and material things, with power and status. We live in a society in which we talk about just about everything except money and our relationship to money. But Jesus talked about money and possessions in the Gospels almost as much as he mentioned the kingdom of God. Why would this be? Because he knew that humans can so easily be held in bondage by our relationship to money and possessions and status and power. Jesus calls us out of all that keeps us in bondage. Jesus calls us into freedom. One of the reasons that the Episcopal Church and other denominations hold up the tithe, 10% of one's income, as the standard for giving, is that this percentage is a real sacrifice for most people. To give one-tenth of one's income back to God is a difficult thing for most of us. But if you do, you can experience a most wonderful freedom. As the man who writes in today's bulletin insert describes it very well. To give away that much, whatever amount it is, that much of a percentage of what you have for God's work in the world is a tangible sign that you are not held in complete bondage to money and possessions. As John Shea says, a commentator that I read, even while we have possessions, we have to disown them. We cannot allow them to own us. The only way to live free from the power of money is to give it away. Jacques Ellul, theologian, writes these words. How can we overcome the spiritual power of money? Not by accumulating more money, not by using money for good purposes, not by being just and fair in our dealings. The law of money is the law of accumulation, of buying and selling. That is why the only way to overcome the spiritual power of money is to give our money away, thus freeing ourselves from its control. To give away money is to win a victory over the spiritual power that oppresses us. Jesus calls us into freedom. We cannot do this all on our own without God's help. But remember, all things are possible with God.